record everything. Les, I don't know what happened. I think the guest interfered with my moving. I hate to blame him, but, you know, got to blame somebody. Anyway, is that good enough, the camera and everything?
That's
okay,
good.
Very good. Well, let's blow the trumpet and we will proceed. I'll put the study up.
Up there.
I gotta find the study.
Just make everything smaller.
Is this it?
No, make everything smaller.
It's hiding on me. There it is.
Yeah, there it's hiding.
Yes, praise the Lord. That sounds a little different than a shofar, huh? The silver horns. Praise the Lord. Well, we summoned the congregation, and I know Sister Yisrela said she was laughing the other day when she was listening to one of my studies, because I said we blew the shofar, and we're waiting for the congregation to show up, but is this somebody walking a dog out there? No. But anyway, praise the Lord, we're here. And we miss our Sister Louise. We're one of Messiah congregation, Kahacha B'Mashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God, and Shabbat Shalom, we are here. And it's the memorial, Zichron Teruah, right? And you just blew the sounding blast, and we'll explain what that's all about. Let's ask God to bless and anoint this study today, and we'll proceed. Heavenly Father, King of the universe, we come to you humbly today, ask you to wash us in your holy blood of any sin, any blemish, any spot. I pray that you'll hear our prayers today and be with us in a mighty way. I pray you'll send your Holy Spirit upon us. I pray you'll send down healing upon our Sister Louise in Yeshua's name, in the power of the Holy God of Israel. Amen. Heal everyone in the body of Messiah. We trust you, Father. We lean upon you. You're our Father. We're your children. Bless this day, this memorial blowing the trumpets, as we do it in rehearsal again, knowing that one day in someone's lifetime, the trumpet will really sound. Today we just do it in rehearsal. Bless and anoint this day. Bless everyone here. Bless the study. Bless the conversations, the reading of your word. Let everything be to the glory of the Father in the kingdom of heaven and to the edifying of the body of Messiah. We just thank and praise you for a wall of fire around and about us, caution us from any evil. And I thank God for another Shabbat that we honor you, Father, and keep your commandments. And I just wish we would have known about this earlier in our lives, but here we are today in 2015 doing it, and I thank God for everything. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Amen. Don't you wish we started earlier in our lives?
Yeah.
I know, we could have told our children, you could have told your grandchildren, you could have told everybody, our relatives. Anyway, today is September 16, 2015. And we all know what September is all about, even though it means seven, it's the ninth month. However, right now we're in the seventh month of God. And today I'm just going to do a review of the holy days and the feast of God, the God of Israel, review. So, in Leviticus 23, we'll proceed with, and Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning, these are the feast of Yehovah, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts, which are very important. And then, of course, God always goes right into that beginning Genesis account of the Sabbath in Genesis chapter 2. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. And today's not the seventh day, but it's a holy convocation also, which is a mikra kodesh. It's a public meeting, a sacred assembly, and you should do no work therein. So that's important. It's a Sabbath of Jehovah in all your dwellings, and all of us here, wherever we dwell, that's what it's going to be. These are the feasts of the God of the universe. Isn't that amazing? Holy convocations, and we proclaim them in God's seasons, which is important. The Moedim, the Moad, which is the seasons of God, which are important. We don't just do them when we feel like. That's what I mean. So we have Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, which is right now, in the first day of the month, ye shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets. a holy convocation. And we blew the trumpet, and you're supposed to blow the trumpet every new moon, but we do it specially today. We're not going to do any work at all, no melechet avodah, no work at all, but we shall offer an offering made by fire unto Jehovah. So we offer unto God today our praise and thanksgiving, and may our thanks go right up to the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying that on the 10th day of the 7th month, this is a rehearsal, we're going to be doing this 10 days from now, there shall be a day of atonement. It's a holy convocation unto you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto Jehovah. Another day we're going to do this. And, you know, I listened to this morning chapter 16 of Leviticus, probably about four times, but I can't get enough of that because it's all about the Day of Atonement. It has nothing to do with fasting, and you have to have a sacrifice and bring that blood of the sacrifice. Matter of fact, at the chapter, chapter 17 or 18, where you have to bring the blood to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation unto the priests, otherwise you get wiped out. You get killed. And that's what we're doing. We bring our sacrifices right to God, and we make sure we're always covered in the holy blood of the Messiah. We bring the atonement on us before we even pray to a holy living God that's beyond our imaginations. Very scary thing when you pray. Make sure you're always clean when you enter the Holy of Holies through the blood of the Yeshua. Amen. Some people pray without thinking about that. They just, I don't know what they're thinking. We're not going to do any work on that day for sure. It's a day of atonement, to make an atonement for your before Jehovah your God. And it's definitely going to be before him, because we believe that's the time when he might return in someone's lifetime. And whatever soul, whosoever soul be, that will not be afflicted in that day. In other words, you better make sure with total scrutinizing of your own spiritual being that you're ready to meet God. You will definitely be cut off from among your people. You'll never make it. So we have to make sure we're always ready to meet God. Even though this is a rehearsal of the seventh month of God, we should be like this every day. Make sure you're ready to meet the Lord, because you never know when you're going to meet the Lord, right? Whatsoever soul it be that does not in that work, does any work in that day, that soul shall be, I will destroy from among his people. And that's an everlasting destruction. It's not just a one-time destruction. That's the problem. You shall do no manner of work. It's a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. In all your dwellings, you're supposed to do this. And it shall be unto you a Shabbat Shabbaton. It's a Sabbath of rest. And you shall afflict, anah, your souls. Okay? It's not tsum, fast. In the ninth, it's the ninth day of the month at even. From even to even, you shall celebrate your Sabbath. So that's what we do. And it's a serious thing about blowing the trumpet, even though we do it now as a rehearsal. But I'm sure that day when the trumpet sounds, it's going to be frightening. You know, I was listening to a video this morning also about the flood, and, you know, how they always show the children, the little giraffes and the elephants walking on the ark, and it's all so cute. But the person was saying it was nothing like that. It was the most horrible thing you could imagine when there was the flood, when God drowned the world. And it was just a shock, because everyone, Noah preached for a hundred years, and they didn't get on the ark and listen to the heed of God to repent, just like it is today. We try to help people, but it's the same thing. By the same word, one day the heavens will be on fire, and the elements are going to melt with a fervent heat when God comes back, and the tribes of the earth are going to mourn, it says, when they see the sign of the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the kingdom of heaven. So we make sure we rehearse all this, and that's a scary day. And Jehovah, the God of the universe, when I read this, my mind just goes, the creator of the whole universe is speaking unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the 15th day of the 7th month, you shall have the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto Jehovah. And, you know, it's supposed to be a joyful time. And this is a symbolic of one day we hope to tabernacle with the Lord throughout eternity. It's going to be more than 7 days, even though 7 days would take in eternity, because that number seven is probably infinite in God's mind. It says, and on the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no civil work therein. 7 days, supposed to make offer an offering made by fire unto Jehovah. So we're going to praise and thank the Lord every day. And on the eighth day, there shall be a holy convocation unto you. You shall offer an offering made by fire unto Jehovah. And nowadays, we got the Holy Ghost and fire that keeps us alive. Amen. It's a solemn assembly. You shall do no civil work therein. Amen. These are the feasts of the God of the universe, Jehovah, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto Jehovah, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice, a drink offerings, everything upon his day. Now this is besides the Sabbaths of Jehovah, and beside your gifts, and beside your vows, and beside your free will offerings, which you give unto Jehovah. So you have to think about how many free will offerings did you give? How many did you praise and thank the Lord enough? Or it's the fruit of our lips giving praise to him, the calves of our lips, you know. You got to do that a lot. Also, he says it again, and he adds a little more information. In the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of your land, we don't have any fruit yet. We'll hope to get some. You shall keep a feast unto Jehovah 7 days. It's a 7-day feast. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. And we know now when they are, because we know when the Rosh Chodesh was, the new moon, last night. And ye shall take on you the first day. We're going to do this. We're going to go get boughs of goodly trees, and we're going to get branches of palm trees, if we could find any, and boughs of thick trees and willows of the brook, and we're going to rejoice before, I keep saying, the God of the universe, Jehovah, your God, 7 days. Amen. We're going to do that. I hope you do too. And ye shall keep it a feast unto Jehovah 7 days. He says that how many times are you supposed to keep it a feast for 7 days in the year? It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the seventh month. It's not Tishrei. It's not New Year. It's not when Adam was born, and it's not when the world was created. It's the seventh month. It's the feast at the end of the month, going towards the end of the month. We're going to dwell in booths 7 days. All that are born again, Israelites born again, shall you dwell in booths. Amen. So if you join the Israel of God, this is what we're going to do. And it's a 7-day feast, which I know sometimes we don't take that too serious, but it really is a 7-day feast. That your generations, why are you going to do that? Well, that your generations may know that I have made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am Jehovah your God. And Moses, I bet, declared unto the children of Israel the feast of Jehovah. So remember, September and Ha'etanim, which is the name of the seventh month, are different. All dates start the evening before, right? Today is the first day we're having a Sabbath. And then, of course, the 10th day, the 15th day, and the 22nd day of Ha'etanim, right? Today's Wednesday, right?
Yes.
And today's a Sabbath. 16th, first day of Ha'etanim, Memorial Trumpets. 10 days from now is going to be Friday, September the 25th, right? Day of Atonement. And then 5 days later will be Wednesday, September the 30th, the Feast of Tabernacles on the 15th of Ha'etanim, which is towards the end of the year, the feast towards the end of the year, until October 6th, and that's the 21st day of Ha'etanim. And that's the last great day is October 7th, Wednesday, the 22nd. Everybody got that? Supposed to be happy. He looks. So we acknowledge God's calendar. We are now in the seventh month of God, the first day. This is the first daytime hours of the God of Israel called Ha'etanim. Ha'etanim has been deleted from the world, of course. Most people never even heard of that. Everyone's calling it September from the Gregorian calendar. And then Judaism, and a lot of Messianics are calling it Tishrei, which basically is from the Babylonian New Year, which is totally made up. And, you know, it's just a horrible thing. Some sages, they started a whole year, civil year, at the end of the destruction of the temple, and they made up their own made-up year. So here's what's missing. Ha ate the name. And if you have a little bit of Hebrew knowledge, it's Ha is the definite article. We have the first and last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And we have the name at the end, which is a plural. So when I read that, I read God is the first and the last forever. Ha ate the name is enduring, the perennial brooks. Okay? Ha ate the name always has a definite article, which means the perennial brooks. Eighth the name means the seventh month, corresponding to our September and October. And the permanent streams still flow, and Yeshua is, I guess his blood is still available for everyone, whosoever will come to him. In Jeremiah, two different places, he says he's the living waters. Amen. Mayim, Chaim. And there's the word Itan in the singular from the name. It means perpetual, constant, perennial, ever-flowing. It's a stream, and that's what God is. Most people never heard of Ha'et Anim. They're brainwashed by Judaism or the Gregorian calendar. Just think, today most people, they don't even know it's the memorial blowing of trumpets. Terrible. And there's where it says Ha'et Anim right there, 1 Kings 8:2, in case you don't know. I think everybody here knows, right? And there it is in the Hebrew, so you can read that. Barech ha'etanim b'chag hu ha'chodesh ha'shevi'i. It's the seventh month. It's that simple, really. Anyway, today's topic, obviously, is the memorial blowing the trumpets, right? And which we blew. And these are the feasts of Jehovah, even holy convocations. We're proclaiming them in their seasons. And let's see. We're doing exactly what it says here. Today's the Sabbath. It's the memorial of blowing the trumpets. When I read this, my mind always said to me, well, a memorial of what? You know, what are we trying to remember? You know, what's that? Just blowing a trumpet? That there's more to it than just blowing a trumpet, right? I'm sure you guys know about Joshua, that story. Mm-hmm. They blew the trumpets there and the whole place went down flat. And we'll read that later. That's a whole picture of the end of the world. Here we have in Numbers 29, we have this on the seventh month, the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no civil work in it. It's a day of blowing of trumpets unto you. And you shall offer, it says, you shall offer a burnt offering for a sweet savor unto Jehovah, one young bullock, one ram, seven lambs of the first year without blemish. Think about all the things they had to do physically and their meat offerings. Their meat offering shall be a fine flour mingled with oil, 3 tenth deals for a bullock and 2 tenth deals for a ram, 1 tenth deal for one lamb throughout the 7 lambs, and 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering to make an atonement for you. So even on the Day of Atonement, everything has to always be atoned for before you even come before God. You have to always make sure you're covered in, nowadays, the blood of the Messiah. Very important. And this is all beside... This is in Numbers, beside the offerings of the month. Every month there's supposed to be offerings. Meat offerings, daily burnt offerings, meat offerings, their drink offerings according unto their manner for a sweet savor, a sacrifice made of by fire unto Jehovah. Imagine all that. So sometimes we got to think about what are we doing per month for God? It's an interesting thought. Anyway, here's a trumpet to remember. I thought this would be a good trumpet to put in your mind. Exodus 19, okay? Now, this is the month Sivan, right? When the children of Israel were on their march towards Mount Sinai. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. And they were departed from Rephidim, which is good, and they were come to the desert of Sinai. And most of us can't imagine being in a desert. And they had pitched in the wilderness. And there, Israel camped before the mount. Anyone here ever been in the desert? I've been in the desert in California, and it's pretty barren, dry. And also, we also been in the wilderness in Israel. It's pretty drastic. It's not like around here. It's totally different. It's all rocks and thing. You can't even imagine how you could walk through it. But anyway, Moses went up unto God, which is so amazing to even hear, and Jehovah called unto him out of the mount. Could you imagine that? Can't imagine that. And he said, thus shall you say to the house of Jacob, and go tell the children of Israel, which is basically the same thing, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Here's what God, and God speaks to us very simple. If you will obey my voice, indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a segula, a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you're supposed to speak unto the children of Israel. And today these words pertain to us also. We're supposed to be priests and kings unto God. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which Jehovah commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that Jehovah had spoken will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto Jehovah. And Jehovah said unto Moses, lo, I come unto you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you. Wow. Gives me the chills. And believe you forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto Jehovah. And Jehovah said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow. Let them wash their clothes. I don't want no dirt up before me. And be ready against the third day. For the third day, Jehovah will come down. Jehovah is talking about Jehovah. This is a plurality. The third day, Jehovah will come down in the sight of the people upon Mount Sinai. So Jehovah is saying, Jehovah is going to come down. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves, that you go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall surely be put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, then they shall come up to the mount. Very frightening situation here. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day, and come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day, in the morning, which is very significant, in the morning, there was thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet, exceeding loud, so that all the people that were in the camp, I bet, trembled. It must have been so frightening. It must have been really frightening. Can't even imagine. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount, I bet. And the Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke. It looked like it was just... And Jehovah descended upon it in fire. And the smoke ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. Can't even imagine that. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spoke. And then the most amazing thing, God answered him by a voice. They all heard it. Could you imagine that? Whew. And Jehovah came down on Mount Sinai on the top of the mount. And Jehovah called Moses to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. This is all beyond my imagination. How about you? And Jehovah said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto Jehovah to gaze. And many of them perished. That's a plurality again. Let the priests also, which come near to Jehovah, sanctify themselves, lest Jehovah break forth upon them. Another plurality. That's how holy, powerful God is. Wow. And Moses said unto Jehovah, I mean, Moses must have got nervous here. I don't blame, I mean, you can't blame him. He says, the people cannot come to the come to Mount Sinai for thou, you charged us, saying, set bounds about the mountain, sanctify it. I mean, God knows exactly what he said. So he goes, and he sent him away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, you and Aaron with thee, and let not the priests of the people break through to come up unto Jehovah, lest he break forth upon them. Wow. Praise the Lord. Isn't that powerful? So Moses went down unto the people and spoke unto them. So that's a trumpet that we're trying to remember, because that trumpet is when the Lord came down. And we believe that trumpet in the future is when the Lord's going to come back. The Lord himself, again, shall descend from heaven and will rise and be changed. Yeah, it's a warning. It's very powerful. Saul tells us, who's known as Apostle Paul, he tells the Corinthians, which is telling us, I'm happy about this letter. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you, which we all do, I do too, the gospel which I preached unto you, which you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Messiah died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And you can go to Isaiah 53 for that, and Psalm 22, and many other places. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You read Jonah, and that's what that's all about. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. And that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. They're dead. After that, he was seen of James, and then of the apostles, of all the apostles. So these are all, this is a document which is very important. It's a record of that Messiah actually rose from the dead. These are all real people that are testifying. Last of all, he was seen also of me, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. We're all going to wish we did more for God. Nowadays, people might say you're just a little over the top, you know, you're a little too zealous, a little too, just too much. But they don't realize when the breath is going out of you, you're going to wish you did so much more. You could never be over the top with God. Therefore, whether I or they, so we preach and so you believe. Now, if Messiah be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you there's no resurrection of the dead? Especially when I brought forth all these witnesses too, that witness that we've seen him. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Messiah is not risen. And if Messiah be not risen, then you're everything we're doing is a bunch of vain, ridiculous. Your faith is vain also. The resurrection is the most important thing, one of the most important things in the Bible. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we testified of God that he raised up Messiah, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Some people don't believe in the resurrection. For if the dead rise not, then is not Messiah raised. And if Messiah be not raised, your faith is vain. You're still in your sins. Just think about all the people that never even accepted the Messiah. They're still in their sins, no matter how holy they look, with all their garments on and their whatever they think they're wearing, and their whatever they think they appear like. They're in their sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep, the ones that are dead in Messiah, are also perished. People that believed in the Messiah, if he really didn't raise from the dead, they're gone. If in this life only we have hope in Messiah, we are most men most miserable if he didn't raise. But we declare unto you that now is Messiah risen from the dead, And he's become the first fruits of them that slept. Amen. He's the first one that got an incorruptible body. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Right? For as in Adam all die, even so in Messiah shall all be made alive. Amen. But every man in his order, in his own order, Messiah, the first fruits, after they that are Messiahs at his coming. That's going to be us. Then come at the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he had put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Amen. For he had put all things under his feet, but when he says he put all things under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all? Of course not. Why are they then baptized for the dead? That would be a waste vain. And Paul is saying, if this whole thing is so fake and so vain, why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Messiah Yeshua our Lord, I die daily. Apostle Paul. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantages do I have if the dead rise not? In other words, let's forget that then. Let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Don't be deceived. Evil communications, which come in sweet voices, corrupt good manners. Watch out for those little sweet voices. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and what body do they come? Paul says, you fool. That which you sow is not quickened, doesn't die, except isn't made alive except it die. And that which was sowed, thou sowed not that body which shall be, right? You know when you plant seeds, you don't expect seeds to pop up. You hope whatever you're planting is going to grow, right? So they go in the ground, they're dead, and then they grow into a whole different fruit or vegetable, different body than what was planted, right? And that which you sow, you didn't sow that body that shall be, but bare grain or by chance wheat or some other grain, right? But God gives it a body as it had pleased him, and so to every seed his own body. And this is something we got to really remember. All flesh is not the same flesh. Don't believe evolution. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies, right? And there's a lot of celestial bodies, which we don't even know about. And then there's a lot of terrestrial bodies, right? Must be a lot of planets out there, a lot of heavenly things. But the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars. You know how God always distinguishes the sun from the stars? Even though scientists say our sun is a star. Our sun is the sun, a different sun. If you study suns, you'll see other stars out there. Their composition is totally different. They're totally different than what we have. For one star differs from another star in glory, and only God knows that. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It's sown in corruption, it's raised in incorruption. Amen. It's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. It's sown a natural body, this body. It's raised a spiritual body. Praise the Lord. There is a natural body, right here, and there's going to be a spiritual body. Wow. As it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Just think, Adam's dust is somewhere on the planet somewhere, but his spirit went back to God. Howbeit that, and here's what we always tell you, howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, but afterward that which is spiritual. Right. So first comes the physical, and then we understand the spiritual meaning. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is like the Lord from heaven, spiritual. Right? And we have this man, Adam, which I looked at his name. He's the first man, right? And if you take his three letters in his name, we have Aleph, Dalet, closed Mem, right? So I see right there in that first Adam, the Aleph, Adam, and then I see the Dalet, which reminds me of David, which represents the fruit of David's body, the Messiah came. And the closed Mem, which we see in some passages, is the Messiah. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And that's what I see when I even look at the first man. And that's what that's saying up here. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is. And that's like the Lord from heaven. Anyway, as is the earthy, such are they that also that are earthy, and such is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we're going to bear the image of the heavenly. You have to really believe that. Wow. Now this I say, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So even though you perfume it and wash it and you clean it and you try to do whatever you do to it, it's still going to, neither corruption is not going to inherit incorruption. Your little flesh is going to go back to the dust. And then he shows you, I show you a mystery. And it's really a mystery. This is a mystery because all the people that have died, their dust is somewhere on this planet, whether they were cremated or they're in the ground or wherever they are, God knows. We shall not all sleep. We're not all going to die, but we're going to be changed. Whoever's at this time, this is going to happen to them. That in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, guess what? At the last trump, the seven trumpets, the trumpet's going to sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And the people that are alive are going to be changed with them. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. Somehow, that dust and the spirit are going to get back together, and we're going to, who knows, that's such a mystery. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So if you ever wanted to be immortal, that's going to happen to you one day. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, but the strength of sin is the Torah, right? Because it reveals what sin is. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know why? Because for as much as you should know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Praise the Lord. And Paul tells the Thessalonians a nice story too. These are people he talks to. We had the Corinth by Greece, and this is in Asia Minor, Thessalonica. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren and sisters, concerning them which are asleep. Don't worry about the ones that are dead. Okay? All the people that went before you in Messiah. Don't sorrow, okay? Even as others which also have no hope. Because if you believe that Yeshua died and rose again, even so them also which are dead sleep in Yeshua will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of Jehovah, the Lord, that that they which are alive at that time when the trumpet sounds and remain at the coming of the Lord shall not go before them that sleep. In other words, we're all going to go together. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Hallelujah. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And while they're rising first, who's ever there at that time, then we, or whoever's there that are alive and remain, they're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. He's not in Jerusalem. He's not in the secret chambers. The Lord's coming back in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wow. Could you imagine that? So anyone that's ever died, our dust is uniting with our spirit, and the people that are alive, they're just going to be changed right on the spot, and we're all going to go up together. That's almost like amazing, isn't it? Anyway, that was my little trumpet message for you today. That's why we're doing the memorial of the trumpets. It's not just blowing a trumpet. It's what does it signify and what's the significance and what trumpet should you be waiting for? It's that the seventh trumpet is going to sound one day, the last trump of God. So in closing, just remember Ha'etanim is different than September, and all the dates I give you start the evening before, right? So we have the 10th, the 15th, the 22nd, three extra Sabbaths left. And there they are again, just for your benefit. You could read that yourself, right? I'm sure you guys got this all written down by now. Right. Anyway, I thank you for being here today. I'll shut off this. I hope you got something out of the study today on Pow Talk. And this time, I'm just going to stop the recording. I'm not going to start it. You don't start it again. That's what I did wrong last week. And I'm going to hit close. And then knock that off. And then I hit no. And then I'm going to stop the audio.